Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. This is Perspectives on the Bible, Blog Talk Radio. This is Pastor Fred. Welcome to the program. We're going to be talking about wrestling with God. And, you know, I'd like to introduce the program by asking the question. In our world, lying, cheating, cunning, all kinds of manipulation are the norm, and many people admire that. And they look out there and they say, you know, if I can be the better cheater, if I can be the better liar, if I can be the better manipulator, that I can make it. But do you really want a life of lying, cheating, and manipulating? Or do you want a life that has the peace that passes all understanding? You want a life that is calm. You want a life that is in a sense of peace with all those people around you. You want a life that is in relationship with others. What kind of life do you want? Today we're going to be looking at Jacob, himself a liar, a cheat, and a manipulator, but a person who was in his soul, in his inner being, at the core of his existence, a man who was restless and could not find any rest at all. Today we're going to be looking at Jacob as he comes to grips with himself, comes to grips with God, wrestles with God, and makes a decision that he would rather be a man at rest with God than a restless man wandering in a foreign land. And so I ask you to stay with me as we proceed to look at the readings for the 21st week of Trinity in the Common Lectionary. We're going to start off today's program with a service of matins. We're going to do a little bit of rosary work and prayer. We're going to be looking at the readings for the day, the three readings for the day, and we're going to be trying to analyze what Jacob has to say to us. Please stay with us. We're going to begin with our program, Hope, Faith, and Courage by the Brothers of Faith, a wonderful piece, which we have played as our theme song, which is downloadable, at least it used to be, from D Music, the letter D Music. And it's a great site. Look it up. The Brothers of Faith is on there. They've done a great job here on this piece. We appreciate them very, very much. So stay with us and just pause a moment. Get your Bible ready. We'll be looking at the readings. Let me tell you where the readings are from. If you have your Bible ready, it's Genesis, the book of Genesis. Wonderful book. I love the book of Genesis. And, you know, with encouragement, my good listeners, I would go through the book of Genesis with you every chapter, every verse, every word. The book of Genesis is the foundation. The book of Genesis is the place where we all need to look. The book of Genesis, the beginnings. If we understand the beginnings, we'll understand the endings. And if we understand the beginnings and we understand the endings, then we'll understand ourselves. And if we understand ourselves, then we will be whole. We will be complete. We will be 100% alive. You know, there's a lot of people walking around 20% alive, 50% alive, 70% alive. Well, I don't want to be that. I want to be 100% alive. And the way you get to be 100% alive, my friends, is to know yourself, to know your God, to walk with your God humbly, to love justice and to practice humility, and then you will have a relationship with God that will completely revolutionize your life. Jacob was a man who had decided in favor of the world's values, cunning, cheating, lying, manipulation. But he was never at rest. He never was complete. He was never whole. But when he came to the conclusion that there was a better answer, he decided to go back. He decided to go back to his religion. He decided to go back to the faith of his fathers. He remembered, as Stephen King says in all his novels, "I remember the faith of my father." Well, he remembered the faith of his father Jacob, remembered the faith of his father Isaac, and he also remembered the faith of his father, grandfather Abraham, and from that, he revolutionized his life, and because of Jacob, the whole Israelite religion, the Jewish religion, and from that, the Messiah issues forth as a blessing to the entire world. Stay with me, but let's stop here for just a moment, and we'll be looking at the song, Hope, Faith, and Courage. Stay with me.
Hope, faith, and courage.
Take heart, be faithful, trust the Lord. Give all your love to His Spirit. Do all the things His Father will. What's going to do in the final day? What's going to say when you call your name? Are you going to be?
Hello, this is Pastor Fran. Thank you for being with me. We've stopped the song and we've moved forward. Okay, we're going to be looking at the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 to 30. Let's read those verses. Chapter 32 of Genesis, reading there, verses 22 to 30. That same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, Jacob's hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, "Let me go," the angel said this, "for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the angel said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And then he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. And so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which is to say, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." What a wonderful chapter of the Bible. And let's look at that quickly because we have a limited amount of time. I want to remind my listeners, who is this man Jacob? Well, he's the son of his grandfather Abraham. He's the son of his father Isaac, who had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And if you remember the Bible story, if you want to look it up, it's in the book of Kings, but the book of Genesis, I'm sorry, the book of Genesis. But when you look it up, you'll see that there are two sons. One of them, Esau, is a man of the earth, a man of simplicity, a man of what I say is what I mean. And then you have Jacob, a son of the house, a son of the harem, a son of his mother. I don't think I want to go as far as to call him a sissy, but Jacob, who is cunning. And Jacob, in his history, is a liar. He has used his cunning. He has used his cunning to manipulate. He has used his lying to manipulate. He has used his cheating to manipulate. And he has gained from his brother, his own brother, Esau, he has gained the inheritance. He has gained the flocks and the herds. He has gained a great deal. Of course, the problem is that Jacob will eventually have to flee from the face of his brother and the face of his father into a different land, into a different place, in order to keep himself, his wives, and there are many, and his accumulation safe and meticulous, or no one would know. And now we're going to be looking at that and saying, okay, what are we going to do with that? Jacob is a person who wants to move forward. He's going to move forward into the worldliness, the world's values. He's going to move by cheating, by cunning, by lying, and he's going to steal the birthright of his brother, and he's going to be successful. He is going to be successful. And this successfulness that he has gets him flocks, gets him herds, gets him the inheritance, gets him ahead. But it gets him the enmity of his brother Esau, and his brother Esau is going to want to kill him. Now, what would you trade for a life that did not involve your brother wanting to kill you. Okay. Anyway, he achieves all these things by cunning, by lying, by cheating, by manipulation, the flocks, the herds, the birthright. He flees from the face of his brother Esau and from his father, and he flees to Laban, another land, another country, another person. And in that story, Jacob also gets ahead by cunning, by manipulation, by all kinds of cheating and lying and dissembling, and he's successful. But at a certain point in Jacob's life, Jacob comes to the point of wanting to change. He looks at cheating and he doesn't like it. He looks at lying and he doesn't like it. He looks at dissembling, he doesn't like it. He looks at manipulation and he doesn't like it. Why is that? Because he himself, when he is visiting his uncle Laban in the Laban society, as it were, he is cheated against. He is lied against. He is dissembled against. He is criticized. He is misused. He is manipulated. He doesn't like it. So he decides that that life, the life of those values, is not what he wants. And so he remembers his faith. He remembers the faith of his father, Isaac. He remembers how he was taught at his father's teaching, the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And then also just remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And you shall not kill, you shall not swear, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, nor his manservant, nor his fields, nor his cattle, nor anything that is your neighbor's, because the Lord God has given them to him, and they do not belong to you. Do not covet them, do not want them, do not lust after them, because God takes care of you as well as he takes care of Jacob. Anyway, at a certain point in time, Jacob decides that he wants to change his lifestyle. He remembers his father, his great-grandfather Abraham. He remembers his father Isaac. He remembers his faith of his childhood faith, the Ten Commandments, the basic Torah, the basic concepts of God as beginning the religion. And he decides to return to that. He says, I remember it, and it's better than I have right now. It's better than the world I'm living in right now. So I'm going to return to that world, and I'm going to try to be restored to that world. Okay, as you look at that, let's just pause for a minute for hope, faith, and courage. I'll be right back. Okay, this is Pastor Fred, and we're back. Okay, so Jacob decides he's going to return to his roots, he's going to return to his church, he's going to return to his religion, he's going to return to that which he remembers as his faith, and he makes a journey. But he also understands a very key point. Jacob understands that he has to make this commitment to God for himself. He cannot make the commitment to God for his wives, he cannot make commitment to God for his grandsons, or his children, or his cattle, or his servants. He is the one who has to make the commitment. He is the one who has to make the investment. He is the one who has to be honest enough to say that God is able. God is able to provide their needs, and God is able to take care of everything that he needs to take care of. And so Jacob returns to the Lord, and he sends the family ahead of himself. He sends his wives, he sends his cattle, he sends his servants ahead of himself. This is all the wealth, all the prominence, all the famousness that he has gained in the world of many gods and many pagan gods. He is sending them forward ahead of himself, not because he wants to distance himself from them, but because he knows he cannot make a decision for them. They will have to make a decision for themselves. However, he can set the foundation. He can set down the cornerstone. He can set down the substructure that will allow you to build a great structure above itself. And so Jacob then is, it says, having done that, Jacob was alone. Alone. We face God face to face individually. We face God face to face alone. We face God face to face. And then we're going to have to wonder what he's going to do here on this point. Hold on. We're going to have hope, faith, and courage. Okay, Pastor Fred's back. Now we're going back and looking at this again. Okay, so Jacob then sends his family, his cattle, his servants, his slaves, his other wives ahead of himself. He is going to now come face to face with himself. He's going to come face to face with his God. And this is a wrestling. Now this is a wrestling, my friends, that you and I have when we decide that the world of cheating and lying and dissembling and manipulation and all kinds of cunning is not the world that you and I want. It's a world that belongs to the secularists, the socialists, the communists, the ideologues, whoever they are. They can have that world. We don't want it. We want the life of faith. We want the life of communion. We want the life of community with God. And so if we're going to have that, there's going to have to be a conversion experience. And so it says that when he had sent them across the Jabbok, verse 1 of chapter 32 of Genesis, Jacob was alone. Jacob was alone, verse 24. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. So Jacob, in order that he can return to the faith of his father Abraham, in order that he can recall the faith of his father Isaac, he's going to have to come to a conversion experience. And this is a wrestling. It's a struggle. You see, Jacob believed that he could bring back his cunning. He might have said to himself, well, I could be cunning for the Lord. Or he may have said, I can be a cheater for the Lord. Or he might have said, I have been and I can be a liar for the Lord and whatever else, a manipulator for the Lord. And so he wrestles the angel, and the angel wrestles with him because Jacob is not yet passed over from idol worship, the worship of things, to the worship of the true God. And so now we have Jacob wrestling with the angel, but he's not successful over against the angel. The angel is not successful over him. So the angel uses supernatural power and thrusts it out so that Jacob's knee is always going to be, whatever that is going to be, is always going to be. Okay, we're going to. This is Pastor Fred. We're back on the channel again. I think we had a little loss here. A few minutes here, a few seconds. Okay, let me get back onto that with you. So now Jacob, wrestling with the angel, says to himself, maybe I can be a cheater for the Lord. Maybe I can be a liar for the Lord. Maybe I can be a manipulator for the Lord. Maybe I can use my talents, my secular talents, my worldly talents for the Lord. But the wrestling indicates that no, he has to leave behind himself the cheating, the dissembling, all of that business. He has to leave that behind. And he has to be purified. And because, it's a very interesting point, the angel does not win against Jacob. Jacob does not win against the angel. But somehow or other, I believe that this is meant to, for you to understand that God does not force anyone into religiosity. God does not force anyone into faith. God does not force anyone to become righteous and observer of the law. God does not force anyone to obey the Ten Commandments. God has given you a free will, and that free will must be sometimes used up right away, or that the free will can be used at a later date. I think that Jacob believed that he can have this free will later on, and he doesn't need to use it right away. But the wrestling says to him, no, you must use it right away. Either you are for the Lord, and you are for the Lord right now, or you're not for the Lord, and you're not for the Lord right now. There's no kind of like faith bank. There's no kind of faith bank. You have to grab onto it right now. Okay, we're going to go on to the next verses. And he was alone, and a man wrestled with him until the break of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched Jacob's hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with the man. And then he said, let me at least go, let me go, for the day is broken. And Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man says, what is your name? And Jacob says, Jacob. And the man says, your name shall not be Jacob, but it shall be he who has prevailed. He who has prevailed. And so that's what happens to Jacob when he wrestles with the Lord. We're going to come back in a minute. Hold on and stay with me. I'm Pastor Fred. This is Perspectives on the Bible. Up here now. Jacob wrestles with the man in verses 22 to 30 of the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Now, this wrestling, my friends, is a wrestling that anyone who is going to turn aside from cunning, from as a style of life, stealing as a style of life, lying as a style of life, the worldliness as a style of life, who feels that that is a barren desert, anyone who turns away from that, cannot come back and say, I can bring my stealing, my cheating, my lying, my manipulation with me into the new life in God. No, it must be eradicated. Now, the angel does not prevail against Jacob. I think that's an indication that the story is indicating that although Jacob may want to be a liar for the Lord, he knows he should not be. Although Jacob may want to be a cheat for the Lord, he knows he should not be. Although he may want to be a manipulator for the Lord, he knows he should not be. And The fact that the angel doesn't win against him, I think, is an indication of saying that Jacob wrestled with God and God wrestles with the man. And God will wrestle with you, my friend, and God will wrestle with me. And what happens here is that God would like to purify us so that we're pure. He would like to eradicate the old way, the old thinking, the old pattern. But as we all know, those old values have a tenacity and a stick-to-itness that is amazing. And so although Jacob would have given those things up, he realizes that they are still with him. The angel and Jacob have a draw. However, Jacob says to the angel, "Tell me your name." And the angel indicates, "You will not know my name." Now, we'll go on to this whole thing about name in another program. But suffice it to say here that Jacob, if he knew the name of the deity on whom he called, would have been, again, the assaulter who goes in and attacks that which benefits him and maybe even tries to destroy it. Now, this is Pastor Fred. I want you to listen a little bit more to our wonderful, wonderful singer here, and we're going to be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. Touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with God. This is merely a statement, a reminder that God can give us a sign, a symbol, a scar, as it were, to say, okay, you thought you were one thing, you became another thing, this is the result. And this is put into your life, this reminder, this thorn in the flesh, this pain in the side, this whatever it is, as a reminder that one time, you too ran the heavy equipment, but now the heavy equipment is gone, and the journey of work is done by Freshirola. Okay, take care, and let me look back here at listening a little bit more to hope, faith, and courage. Hello, this is Pastor Fred back again with dealing with Jacob. The idea at the end of the story is that Jacob, chapter 32, Genesis verses 22 to 30, is that Jacob must leave behind his cunning, must be behind his lying, he must leave his natural proclivity to all kinds of dissembling and manipulation. And he must realize that if he's going to return to his father's faith, the father, in this case, being Isaac. And if he's going to return back to his grandfather's faith, the grandfather's faith, in this case, being Abraham, then he's going to have to give up the joys of his alcohol drink, and he's going to have to give up his belief that the system of lying, stealing, and cheating and cunning is the best system. Well, history will tell. And we may indeed find ourselves turning again as people who move from west to east, seeking the Lord, who refuse to be unjust. Okay, thank you very much. And let's end with the With All I Am program. In the Bible, we've been looking at the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 to 30. Thank you for listening, and God bless.